thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, we read from verse 10. They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Why does God discipline us for our good, my brother and my sister? Because that he wants us to share in his holiness. Come on, say, God wants me to share in his holiness. Let me turn to your neighbor and say, being holy is cool. No, turn to somebody else and say, being holy is cool. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Every form of discipline is painful. It says, but later on, however, the disciplines of God produces a harvest of righteousness and right standing. When you allow God to discipline you, it makes you have right standing in society. It makes you have right standing as a person. It balances you out. Now, show me a man or a woman who has sole control and sole authority of his life and does the things he wants to do by himself without anybody managing him. I will show you someone who is a disaster waiting to happen. It says later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness, right standing with God. Holiness brings right standing with God. And it also brings something else. Say, and peace for those who have been trained by it. God's instructions, right, brings peace. God's instructions trains you. You and I, we are in training. We are in training. I'm in training. And we'll keep on training until the day Jesus comes. As a Christian, we are constantly in training. And God's word and God's instruction trains us. Praise the Lord. It says, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. At the back of what I've just shared with you, the Bible says, it says, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. This month is a month of renewal. And we say God wants to renew us. God wants to change. To renew means to make new. God wants to come into your life this month and make something new in your life. And probably and perhaps maybe something that you have actually forgotten about or you think will not work. God wants to come this month and make it new again. Maybe it's a dream you have that you have forgotten. Maybe it's an aspiration and you say, well, no, this will never happen. But this month, spiritually, we are saying there's going to be a shift in the spirit this month and God is coming to make it new again. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe you've looked at the way you live. You know, you've looked at this when income is like this, expenses is like that, and you say, "Oh my God, nothing, this will never happen. How do I do it? How am I going to make ends meet?" God is saying, "Don't worry, my dear, don't worry. I am coming this month. I'm going to sow something. I'm going to trigger off something in your mind, in your spirit, that will make you overcome that lack and that stagnation." Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you think, you know what, I've been in this spot for a very long time. When am I going to enjoy something? How many of you feel like that at times? You know, in my home, sometimes you just say, why do we do this way? You just change things. How many of you like to change things at times? How many of you at times you just go to your house, just look at yourself, man, I'm tired of this place. It's the same old. How many of you feel like that at times? Exactly. You know? But this month, God will put something, let me tell you something, God will put something inside you. That's what is called renewal. He's coming. God is coming for you this month. I don't know about you. God is coming for me this month, isn't he? Oh, God, I'm expectant. God is coming for me this month. I mean, something breakthrough. God is going to plant something inside me this month that will make me achieve anything I want to achieve. Make me comfortable. Praise the Lord. Make give me peace all around. Hallelujah. So expect it. But he says what he wants, but he wants me. He wants me here. It's in verse 14. He said, I need to make every effort to live in peace. I'm coming to renew you. I'm coming to do something in you, but I need you to do certain things. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, the first verse mentioned there, he said, before he says this one, he said, listen, he said, strengthen your feeble hands. So my friend, it's time to pray. When we make a declaration and say it's a month of renewal, that's not a time to sleep. That's not a time to be laid back. That's not a time to be like a dasicula, like the word, but it's very long and complicated. But that's not a time to do that. That's not a time to be weak and to be slack and then be, no. That's not a time to give up either. This is a time to be excited because we know God is coming. Every time in Bible, my Bible history, that's why I say take time to read the Bible. Read the Bible to know so you can be able to relate prophecy to your life and bring it into context. Every time there is a word that says God is coming, the people prepare themselves. In fact, they go on a 3-day fast to prepare themselves and disassociate themselves from every form of carnality and the things that are not spiritual. And they prepare themselves. Say, prepare yourself because this same time tomorrow, your God will visit you. Come on, church. Be excited this month. I've told you, as every night, when you go to bed every night, shut that day, shut the previous day, close it, and then expect something new the next day. Amen. Expect something new. That's how to go after prophecies. Expect, this is a spiritual exercise, my friend. So it says what? What did he say you should do in verse 12? It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Strengthen them in the place of prayer. This is not a month where you look back and count the things that are not working. No, this is a month you forget what is not working. Forget the past mistakes. Forget the errors of the past and set yourself for a new order. I see this month as a foundational month. God is going to create a new order for some people. God is going to reorder some people's lives this month. Amen. Come on, I said God will reorder some people's lives this month. Amen. You know, Pastor Femi, how you people hang and ask things that are not working for a very long time. Even when God comes, they don't know how to respond. See the man by the well? Want to be healed? You don't know how this thing is. You know, I've still been here for a long time. Nobody wants to push me in. No, this is not a month where we tell stories. Expect something to happen and something great to happen for you this month, and it will happen. Amen. I said in January, I said people should expect, was it 50% income increase? Yeah, right?
Yes.
It's happening. Yes. They may not tell you, but they are coming. They're telling me, oh, Pastor, it's done. This is done. That is done. And they all have the same testimony. He said, when you said it, he said, we believed it. We received it. And we went for it. That's the first thing you must do this month. What do? Pray. Oh, you pray. Strengthen your hands in the place of prayer. Don't jump out of bed. Don't rush out of bed. Don't be too busy to pray. Don't be too busy to pray. And I said, well, Pastor, but I don't know how to pray. Just whatever you want to say to God, just say it. Remember to put amen at the end. And in Jesus' name too. Doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to shiver. Forget all those fake people. Hey, what's well, let's pray. Oh, shake a bracket. Forgive. There's no faith behind this. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Get up. Believe it. 1% word, 99% belief. Don't do 99% speech and 1% belief. What did I say? 1% words. 99%. The belief is colossus. Humongous belief. Two-phrase prayer. Hey. Lazy. Comfort.
grandma. Hey, it's not grandma. Lazy. He said, that who has been dead for 4 days. They said, the guy is stinking. There is no room for renewal. I renewed his skin. God has decayed. Renewed his bones. My goodness. Renewed his tissues. Renewed his blood. Got him on his feet. And the guy stumbled out of that place.
How about the valley of dry bones? Eh? How do you explain that? How do you explain that? It was dry. He said, by your own analysis, which has resulted in your paralysis, what do you think, Mr. MBA? Where I come from in Amidala, you know what we say? Now you know. I don't have a response for you. Only you know this kind of thing. I don't have a response. What did he say? Prophesy. Ha! DJ. Say, prophesy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. No grammar. And I prophesied as I was. The instructions of God, when we go through them, they don't seem nice at the time. But when we follow it through and we believe them, and they will allow those instructions to train us, prophesy, son of man. And the guy stood. I don't know what he said. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. I don't know what he said. But whatever he said wasn't important. I don't know what he said. I didn't know whether he said, Femur, come. What do you call the other one? Tibia, come. I don't know. That guy was clueless. He's not a doctor. No. I don't know. Maybe what he said was, receive life. And then he paused. And then he looked around. Just as he was about to think that nothing will happen this month, he heard a cracking noise. Crack. 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 All of a sudden, he looked at the valley. So bones coming together. Bones coming. And then he renewed them. He renewed them. When they were done with the renewal, we saw an amazing sight. An exceedingly great army from the valley of forgetfulness. That's your story. That's your story. That's your story. That's what's at play this month. You stay with me. And you pay attention. And you sow this in your life. And see how this breakthrough year turns out. Say, you pray. You pray. You pray. That's why we pray. We are not natural people. It doesn't make sense to us. But we pray. We pray. We pray. We say what we see in the world and we keep talking about it. He said, I hear you. Verse 14. He said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. We stumble here. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. One translation says, pursue peace with all men. In the month of renewal, I charge you, pursue peace with all men. When they offend you, forgive them. Let them go. Amen. Some people are difficult to. Some people are troublemakers. We will have troublemakers at work, troublemakers in church, troublemakers everywhere. Amen. But he says, what? You make peace with all men. Let your face be in a permanent condition of smile. He.
His peace.
That is this. That is the symbol of what? Peace.
Lord has been good to me. Be at peace. You know, man.
He said, I don't like what you do. Hey, sorry. Say sorry. Say?
Sorry.
Hey, say sorry. Has he reduced you?
No.
Has your beard disappeared?
He's not. His beards are not going anywhere. Hey, what is it? Is it there? So try it again. Sorry. Hey, he's still there. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt. Say sorry and let them go. So your God can have you.
Hallelujah.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry is a problem for people. For some people. Sorry. He didn't say, are you guilty or not guilty? He says, I charge you. Live what? Peaceably. With all men. Both Christians and non-Christians. You have no right to judge them. You have no right to judge them. Your Christianity is not a license for segregation. They live peaceably with all men. So I treat them like this because they are not Christians. No, you are of the devil. Because while you were yet sinners, he died for you. Peaceably with all men. When you are at work, everything around you should be peace. You'll be the mediator. Oh, peace. 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 No quarrel, fight, or squabble should ever be credited to your account. Peace. Yes, yes. I know, yes. Some men are not peaceable. I know. In the world, I know. They oppose us, they ridicule us, they mock us, they poke us, they curse us, they abuse us, they persecute us, they ignore us. Yes, they isolate us. It's all right. There is nothing they will ever do to you that they did not do to Jesus. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. But you need to be at peace with all men so you can qualify for the renewal coming. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says what? And holiness. And holiness. And holiness. Without which no man can see God. And holiness. Holiness means to be sanctified, set apart, separated to him. You and I, we are called. We are called to be separated. Your family is a sanctified family. Your career is a sanctified career. You are doing that job unto the Lord. Say, so whatever you do. Exactly. That's part of the kingdom. Your job is part of the kingdom. Your assignment in life is your business is part of the kingdom. That is sanctified. You are called to live a sanctified life. You are a priest now and on tomorrow morning. Right? You are the you here now is the you in the train tomorrow, is the you at work tomorrow. Right? The anointing and grace upon you right now is here right now in church. It's gonna be in the train tomorrow and you'll be at work tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Right? So nothing changes. Nothing changes. You are a holy girl, a holy boy on wheels. Are you listening? God, that is what he has called us to. We are sanctified. We get born again. Praise the Lord. Called out of darkness. We get water baptized. Right? So we are baptized into his death and into his life and resurrection. And then we are sanctified. We are called out to live a sanctified life. Be ye holy as I am holy. I instruct you so as to be good to you and so that you can share in my holiness. He wants you and I to share in his divinity, in his purity. That's why we are Christians. Are you listening? Whether whatever age, whatever background, whatever you do, that is why. That is our common denomination, not denominator, our common platform, our common ground. That's why we walk together. That's why we eat together. That's why we fellowship together. That's why we have fun together. We are called to be different. We are called to live a sanctified life. What does that mean? We don't do things the way the world does them. We have a different rule of engagement. That's what it means. We don't run our homes the way the unsaved run their home. We don't do business the way the unsaved do business. We don't do our career the way the unsaved do their career. But yet we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Say, be. So being holy can be cool. That is what it means when it says to be holy. It means that you are separated unto God. Everything you have, everything you are, everything you own is dedicated to God. Your postcode, your house is a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary. This is not the sanctuary. Where you lay your head to sleep, where you dwell, that is the sanctuary. It's a meeting point and it's a warehouse. It's not my house. And it's not the house of God. Amen? It's the house of the bank. You pay mortgage. But where you dwell, where you sleep, it says he put his head in a pillow. He turned stone into a pillow. And lay down to sleep. And heaven opened. See, my friend, you are the carrier. Everywhere you rest your head, that's your abode. Are you listening? You carry an unusual, and you carry God, basically, that's what I'm saying. Anyone who rejects you, rejects God. Think about it. Forget all those things they've taught us in the past that is, you know, it's all from insecure people. Come on, tell them, say, I carry God. No, no, so say, I carry God. Say, there's God inside me. Amen. So be holy. And be conscious of what you are carrying inside you. Be holy. Be holy. You're a holy man. Amen. Saying that you're a holy man. And you'd have a holy car. I'm serious. That's what I like about the Americans. Hey, they know how to give minister. How you carry the president and put the president in one plane, say it's Air Force One. Take the man from that field, put him in a helicopter, say it's Helicopter One. Put him in the car, say it's Car One. Amen. One day they came to England, they were trying to drive that long truck through the bomb. Ah, the limo got suspended. Right? And they whisked the man out of the limo and put him in God knows what car. And they said, this is Air Force One. I said, but Air Force One is grounded. Amen. Have you seen all those movies? Wow. They will say, Papa Alpha, 5-1, Tango, Oscar Romeo is what? It's Air Force One. It means the president is inside. That's my plate number, by the way. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. That's Air Force One. Every time you hear one, it means he's inside. It's not the car that is Air Force One. It's not the plane that is Air Force One. It's the man. It's the man. Come on. Put some value to yourself. It's the man that is the Air Force One. Are you kidding? You enter that place tomorrow morning at work. Employee one is in church. Is at work. Who are you talking about? Employee one is in the premises. You get rid of employee one, you will experience next year seven year losses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So be holy to maintain your uniqueness. Do you know how many accidents God has prevented from your car because you are in it? Hey, touch no man, anointed man, do my prophets no harm. It's not one man, it's an order. It's an order. Praise the Lord. And you place those anointing and then place them on your children. Then, child one. Enter nursery school. Child one. He's in school. And that anointing goes with them wherever they are. And when they see them in the spirit, they say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ah, this is Jacob, but I see Isaac. Ah, this is Isaac, but I see Abraham. Ah, yes. It's a spirit that rests upon them. So be holy. Be holy. That's why I said being holy is cool. Because I have God, and God is in me. Let's read on. I want to wrap up with this one. Next one. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defy many. See to it that no bitter root. Uh-huh. So, see to it. Check your life. And see to it that no bitter root does what? Grows up to cause trouble and defy many. Make sure there's no bitter root in you. It didn't say shoot. It didn't say bitter branch. It said root. A root problem is something that can produce symptoms and challenges in an individual's life. A root cause. It's a bitterness is a root. Once it's a seed planted into the life of someone, it keeps growing. It's like the shrubs, the weeds in my garden. You keep cutting them. There's one particular one, you know, I don't like, because I do what they call chipping and potting in my garden, golf. But there's this wicked shrub, I don't know where it's where, that it won't allow me to chip and pot very well. And that time I went into my garage, I saw this, they call it ivy plant. Yeah? And it was creeping and all over the world. Gives me the goose pimples. And then one day I came, started cutting them and put them. And I started until my gardener came and said, Eddie, that's not how to deal with ivy plant. I said, how? He said, you look for the root and then you poison it. So we started looking for the root. We now found out that the root is actually in my neighbor's garden. So the Bible says, why men slept? Amen. So the ivies have mysteriously disappeared. I don't know what happened. Between the ivy and my gardener, they know. I don't know what happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. So my neighbor's garden backs up. You know, my neighbor's house is that way. But the last plant in his garden that links up to my own garage is this ivy plant. So I'm sure he won't miss it. What am I saying? Bitterness is like an ivy plant in your life. It will grow and it will make your life ugly. It will scratch you. Every time I park my car, they scratch the car. Amen. I want to close with this. I want to take you through the causes of bitterness in a man's life. So you can evaluate yourself, and then by the help of the Holy Spirit, you pull them out so that God can visit you this month of renewal. Amen? Amen. The first one is disappointment in someone you look up to. You know, many years ago, Pastor Bola, we were talking, we were in school, and then she said, I don't know why this sister did this one, because I'm so disappointed. I looked at her, I said, who appointed you in the first place? I said, who appointed you? And then, who are you to appoint anybody? And in fact, who are you to appoint yourself? And so those who appoint themselves set themselves up for what? Disappointment. So disappointment is someone you look up to. It's a major cause of bitterness. Number two, neglect. You know, people feel, children feel neglected, one reason or the other. You growing up, you feel neglected, and that thing just stays as a bitter root. God is telling you this morning. First, he said, live at peace with all men. And then he said, secondly, he said, get rid of the bitterness. I said, you should pray, use prayer to do the surgery. Are you listening? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Number three, being overlooked. Say for promotion. Promotion you feel qualified for. Constantly being overlooked. Number four, feelings of inadequacy. Number five, teachers who may have done you wrong. I mean, if you have, many of you have good teachers, and also have bad teachers. That's possible. We carry bitterness from a very early age, from a very young age. Relationship that has gone south, has gone sour. The friendship goes sour, right? But you can't move on. It just sits there. They call it the root of bitterness. That thing will stay there, and then it will mutate into something else. So you take that route out. Right? Accidents that prevented you from fulfilling your dreams. Things that have happened that has prevented you from fulfilling your dreams. I would have been this if not for what happened. Let it go. Everything happens for a reason. Let it go. Failure. Failed projects. Sometimes you failed so much at so many things. You say, what's the point? And then when you see people succeeding, someone's success reminds you of your failure. That's bitterness. And when you have that, you can't really rejoice with people when they are succeeding. Because their success reminds you of areas where you have failed. Have I told you about the guy who was going to mentor me one day? Have I told you? Oh. Okay, I'll share this one with you very quickly. I went to meet the chairman of a top media house in the UK, and I said, I needed a mentor. So I asked him if he can mentor me, you know, next level mentoring. He said, oh, he said he doesn't have the mind space for it. He said, but I have a friend who is from Oxford, and he's an inventor. He said, so I'm going to set up a date, set up a meeting for both of you so you can. I said, wow, really? He said, yeah. I said, my friend is a multimillionaire. And I will get him to have tea with you, have lunch with you, and then you can strike up a relationship. No problem. So we met in London Bridge. So as we came in, everything was okay, got all that food, and I was so happy. With my first time, I've heard about people being millionaires, I read about it, but I'm actually not seen one before. Like, I know, I mean, not known one or have dinner with lunch before, but this guy was, came in, elderly gentleman, very nice guy, very good looking, well trimmed and proper, came and sat down. And so the story started. Hey, how are you? What do you do? The moment I noticed that we're all okay, we're talking into the lunch, it was all nice and hunky dory. I was very happy, found a mentor. Until I said, I'm very active in church. The guy looked at me, he said, what did you say? I said, I'm very, very active and committed to my local church. And instantly, just started slashing me. Became very aggressive on the table. And he was telling me, oh, that's not possible. That's not humanly possible. You can't be active in your church. I said, sure. It's my life now. I said, I'm active in my church. I didn't tell him this one. What's the problem, man? So I instantly, the moment I noticed the change in the conversation and tone, instantly just became tight-lipped, and then he was fidgeting and he was very angry. I said, but it's my life. So I kept quiet. I stopped talking. So I said, so tell me what you've been doing. And he now passed the comment that he used to be very active in church until he got wealthy. You see, me saying I'm active in church and happy about it, reminded him of where he had failed. But you see, something interesting happened. Rather than acknowledge, right? What did he do? He lashed out. He attacked me. So that thing is a root of bitterness. If it is not bitterness, he will be remorseful. But you see, he was aggressive. Bitter people are dangerous people. And if you find any of those behavioral things I've mentioned there, in you, personal audit, you deal with it. Because you are a dangerous person. You'll be a danger to people who love you. You can lash at them mercilessly. One point, and love, next point. Same breath, that's bitterness. Amen?
Amen.
So, ministry. Ministry can make people bitter. You understand that? Because if you don't have the right balance to ministry, you will expect reward from ministry. And there's nothing as frustrating when people you lay hands on, bless, encourage, for example, if you don't have a right balance of your life, you see them progress. Rather than be happy for them, right? You can compete with them. Or you can be bitter. Pastor, I just bought a plane. Come and dedicate it. Pastor, I just bought a helicopter. Come and dedicate it. Pastor, I just bought a 10-bedroom mansion. Come and dedicate it. But you live in a room in a house. But you are dedicating. If you are not careful as a minister, after some time, you'll be bitter. You see? After dedicating the aeroplane, can't even fuel it. Can't put petrol. Look at him. He's buying plane. Fuel prices are very expensive. Or you tell him that, Pastor, come and buy a helicopter. Is that what you should be buying now? Helicopter? Should we buy a helicopter now? Can you see? There's tsunami in Cairo. There's this. And then you are grown. Should I? Is that your level now? And you see the anger and belly aching coming. What he's saying is that I wish I'm going to board the helicopter. That's why you must have a free heart to do ministry and be balanced. Amen?
Amen?
That's why I told God early on, I don't want to be bitter. Don't ask, send me on an errand if you won't do it through me. Don't want grammar. So I can hold my own and be free to rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
That's why it took me around the whole world for coming to ministry. Achieve everything for coming to ministry. See money for coming to ministry. So how do you... So when I want us church members to do well and be multimillionaires, I'm happy. Because I've seen money. If you've not seen money, you'll be angry. Say, Suka, his head, big head. Can't spend the money. Bam, 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 you'll be complaining. Church, let's... The bloke is listening. Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Let's come and do Christianity.
Amen.
Let's come and do Christianity. Let's do Christianity after the order of Acts. They came together, they loved them, and they shared together. It was and look at the impact of the world today. Amen? Rise to your feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your name. Thank you for your spirit upon this house. Thank you for your word. Thank you for empowerment. Thank you for emotional healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for change of levels, change of position. Thank you. Thank you for what you are going to do and what you are doing in our midst. Thank you. We give you all the glory, Father. Thank you because you are raising us to yourself, purifying us, cleansing us, sanctifying us, that we might do the works of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for my sons and my daughters. I ask, O God, for complete healing. I ask, O God, for complete repositioning in the name of Jesus. Strengthen every one of us in the place of prayer. Empower us. Give us the grace to overcome our weaknesses in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the family shout,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please maybe sit there.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.